Thanks for joining us at Warehouse Church. We would love for you to stay connected, and a great way for you to do that is to simply subscribe to this podcast. You can also stay connected throughout the week by checking out our website, warehousechurch.com, or by visiting our Facebook or Instagram pages. From wherever you are listening, we hope that you are encouraged by this week's message.
Today is our last day of our series called Generous, and I hope that you've been challenged by that. I hope you've been encouraged by it. We've talked about God's example of generosity throughout this series. We've talked about the importance for us to live a generous life. Generous life just doesn't have to do with our giving, right? Or with our tithes and our offerings. Generous living is just the way that we are with people. Are we generous? Right? Are you a generous tipper? Do you base your tipping on service, or do you base your tipping on your generosity? Do you base the way that you treat your neighbors on the way that they treat you? Or you're going to be kind to them, and you're going to be generous towards them, because God is a God that is generous, and we're called to be more like Him. So today we're going to talk about, it's the last message on this. It's the heart and soul of Christianity when it comes to what we're supposed to be in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's our serving and our giving. Matthew, I'm going to read you two verses in the New Testament, Matthew and in the book of Luke. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, the Bible says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus gave us this example that we are here on this earth not to have people do for us, but for us, right? And if we're doing for others, right? If we're meeting people's needs, what does that mean? That means we're givers. We give of ourselves. When we talk about giving of our resources, right, and tithes and offerings, that gets very personal. But it has more to do with your heart. Do you have the heart to give, to meet the needs of other people? Do you have the heart to meet the needs of the church and the ministry and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? So I want to read you this story, a very short story in Luke chapter 21. And it's a story where Jesus gives us the example of somebody that was very, very generous. And there's a couple things to understand about this type of generosity. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you this morning. Luke chapter 21, God's inspired holy word says, in verse number 1, Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. So he was in the temple. He was observing people, right? I don't know if today's your first time in church. I know we have some guests with some family members that are here, and we welcome you to our church this morning. If you're on vacation and you go to a different church, right, you do what when you walk in? You observe, right? You want to kind of catch the vibe. You want to see how people are going to treat you. You want to find out where the bathrooms are 2 steps after you get in there. That the children's ministry, right, we have all these, you know, because we're going into a place where we're kind of familiar because, you know, because maybe you've been to church before and it's not your first rodeo, but you're kind of observing and you're watching people. Jesus did this in the temple. Jesus watched people, right? He's in the temple. He's kind of watching, you know, all of Jesus' confrontations in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are with Pharisees, or they're with very, very religious people. And what was said about those very, very religious people, that Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. They spoke about somebody they didn't even know. These Pharisees knew, memorized, huge chunks, if not all of the Old Testament, but they did not have an understanding what it meant to have a personal, submitted, authentic relationship with God. They were religious. We try to make Warehouse Church a church that's not religious, but that's relational, because God is a God of relationships. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you for 1 hour on Sunday. He wants you to be here for church on Sunday, if this is your church. But he wants you 24/7. Christianity is not something you do, it's something you are. So when Jesus would go into the temple, being God in the flesh, God's son, observing people, he not only saw people's actions, he saw their hearts, right? He saw when people were being kind to one another. He saw when people would prefer others before themselves. But he also saw this lady in verse number 2. He saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins into the offering that day. And this is what Jesus said about this woman that gave this offering. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of the others. All of these people gave gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Maybe you have somebody in your life that's been a very, very great example of giving generosity. Maybe not even church stuff, just like somebody that's been really, really kind to you. My dad's that kind of person for me. My dad's been very, very generous to me and to my siblings, my two brothers and my sister growing up. My dad was kind of funny. My dad was, you know, my dad's not doing well right now. He's going to turn 73 tomorrow, and he's pretty sick. He's got pneumonia, and he's really declining in his age. It's a long story, but he's very, very ill, and I know a lot of you guys are praying for him, and I appreciate that. One thing I'll never forget about my dad would take us to get our school clothes or take us to go shopping, and he would hate it. He would hate it. It was arduous and painful, much like it is for some of you moms and dads when you take your kids shopping. I understand that. It is. We understand that, too. It was kind of funny because my dad would, we would go in. There was a sports shoe store we would buy our sneakers from for school and for basketball. And it was called Bill Batty Sporting Goods. And my dad would go in there with two sizes. His shoes were size 15. Even though he wore size 16, he couldn't find them anywhere. So he crammed his foot into a size 15 shoe. And he was a triple E. And if you know anything about Converse All-Stars, they're made very, very thin. So he has messed up feet for wearing Chuck Taylors. How many of you know what Chuck Taylors are? Raise your hand. How many of you remember when Chuck Taylors weren't $60? Raise your hand up in the air, right? We used to go to a place called the Shoestring on McDade Boulevard, and the Shoestring sold irregular Converse All-Stars. That means one of the eyelets were missing, or they were a little off, and, you know, like maybe the stripe was off or something, for $9 a pair. That's where my dad would buy his shoes that he would work 16 hours a day on concrete floor. But he would go to Bill Batty's and buy us the, you know, the $40 Kobe's at the time, or the $80 this. And I remember when I was playing varsity basketball, my dad bought me a pair of Adidas Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sneakers. They were called Top 10, and it was the first sneaker in the United States that was $100. When I was a kid, right? So today, that's like a $300 pair of sneakers, you know? And my dad said to me, he looked at me, he said, boy, you better not miss a practice. You better have a good season. You better never wear these outside of the gymnasium until basketball season's over. But he would do that because he was generous. He would wear the same pair of jeans every day for 2 weeks in a row to work. And he worked with food. He owned a hoagie shop. So about like the 10th day, when those were getting a little bit ripe and he could take them off and they would stand on their own kind of a thing, he had two pair of jeans. I had a closet full of clothes as a kid. My dad had two pair of jeans, three shirts, a pair of really, really nasty Converse All-Star Chuck Taylor stinky sneakers, because he gave of himself to meet the needs of his kids. And a lot of you do that. A lot of you understand that. I know so many of you that do so much to care for your children, and I applaud you for that, and applaud you for that care. Jesus was looking at this lady that was giving. And you know, we inclusively, right? We can really judge by the way that we look at things, people's motives and this and that. And I think one of the reasons perhaps that Jesus noticed the level of this lady's generosity was not just because of her heart, but probably because of the reaction of others in the way that she gave. You see, the people that were wealthy, and especially the Pharisees, they were very, very audacious, deliberate, intentional about the way that they would give, because they wanted people to know that they were giving. So they would come in, you know, and Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 in the Beatitudes. He said, listen, if you go into the temple and you shake your money bag around so that when people are watching you give your offering, they say, wow, that dude gives a lot of money. Guess what? That is as good as it gets when it comes to the reward system. That's as good as it gets. If you're doing it for other people's praise, that's your reward. But if you're doing it in secret, My Father that sees all, the Bible says, will reward you accordingly. The Bible teaches us that in the Old Testament, that God will not, it's not that he won't consider it, God will not be a debtor to any of us. So if we do what he's commanded us to do with our tithes, what he's compelled us to do with our offering, that's above and beyond, right? That's not just the basic minimal 15% tipping or 10% tipping. It's above and beyond because we love the ministry. We love to see people saved, and we're totally sold out to reaching people for Jesus Christ. God sees what we do in private, and he'll bless you openly. He talks about that. So this lady that gave her 2 pennies, which actually in today's economy was worth 1 penny for us, these 2 little copper coins that she gave, he was very deliberate in talking about she gave everything that she had. She gave everything that she had. We're not having an offering today asking you to give everything that you have, okay? So don't get nervous, I promise you. But I want you to know there's not a time where I stand before you and teach where I don't ask God, God, show me, bust me up, break me down. Please don't let me stand before this body and be a hypocrite. I don't want to tell you to do something that's not of value in my life. Not because you need to base your life on me. I want us, all of us, to base our life out of the Word of God. So when we understand this idea of generous giving this morning, the heart and soul of Christianity, this is going to be something maybe you've heard before. I hope you hadn't. I hope it's an encouragement to you. But maybe it's something new to you this morning. Maybe God will do something really special in your heart if you listen and submit to him. But here's the thing about giving. Giving begins with a cause. It begins with a cause. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, God's word says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. I do know that verse by heart. And if you say, man, he's got really good eyes, if you can read that far away, people that are old understand why I can stand back this far and read that print this far away, because I can't read it real close, right? But what is our cause? That verse talks about 4 different ways that we are supposed to be simultaneously reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it gives a geographical implication, which really turns out to be an outline when it comes to our influence. He shares that we're supposed to be witnesses simultaneously in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the world. And very simply, from a map or geographical standpoint, Jerusalem was home for them. Jesus said, we're supposed to be witnesses here in Plano, in Richardson, in Allen, in Frisco, in Murphy, in Garland, wherever you live in this community, that's where you're supposed to be a witness. You're supposed to be a witness at home. But at the same time, he wants us to be a witness in the surrounding area, which is our Judea, surrounding communities, which could be Texas, which could be different parts of the United States where perhaps we would partner with a church planner or a missionary in our country that is reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he shares something really neat, and he uses this country of Samaria in different teachings in the New Testament. He says we're also supposed to be witnesses to people in Samaria. And there's two very distinct things about Samaritans when it comes to comparing them to Jewish people. Number one, they look different. You could tell somebody was a Samaritan by the way that they look. We're supposed to be a witness to people that look different than us. Not just people that kind of fit our mold, right? Our school district, our income level, our neighborhood, our cars, same clubs, same, you know, restaurant, same this, same that. No, we're supposed to be able to or be compelled to reach people that not only look different than us, but you know what the Samaritans were to Jewish people? They were their enemies. The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other as a country. Terrible, terrible racism. But guilty from both ends for many, many years, even until today. And Jesus says, I want you to be witnesses too. Ready for this? Those people too. And I'm using that very specifically because all of us have those people in our lives. Those HTLs, right? Hard to love. You know, people that are just different than us. They talk different. They act different. You know, if you think about somebody, Johnny and I were, and my Nick and Evan yesterday, my son-in-law's, We were watching the Sixers basketball game last night, which I'm sure many of you did too. And we were talking about people's reaction to Kanye West's album on Facebook yesterday. How many of you know who Kanye West is? Raise your hand up in the air. Okay, so we're down. So how many of you know Kanye came out with a pretty cool Christian record called Jesus is King? Is that right? Jesus is King? Or as Tammy would say, Jesus is King. So Jesus is King, okay? And that we were kind of laughing because a lot of people said, well, if God could change a heart like Kanye, that's another Saul to Paul story. He could sure change a heart like ours. And we were kind of scratching our heads going, well, what's so bad about Kanye compared to me? What's the worst thing he's ever done that we've seen? He was mean to Taylor Swift. Oh, no, right? He married somebody that a lot of people would say is super good looking from what I hear. I don't know. It's just what I heard, you know. Well, what's he done that's really bad? Said a couple cuss words in a song? I don't think he's murdered anybody. But you know what? He's no different than you and me. And in our redemption story of us coming to Christ, but you know why people see that and they look at him and go, oh my gosh, look what Kanye did. Oh, he's a Christian now. Oh, what's the world coming to? It's really, really awesome. You know why they say that? Because he's different. And a lot of white people that go to church think it's really weird when a black guy comes to Christ like that that's a rapper. Wow, it got quiet. And it's okay to say that in church, right? But we get surprised by that kind of stuff. And because what we do, they're different. Well, that's our Samaria, right? That's our, that kind of music or that culture or that race or that this or that that. Jesus said, reach all of them. Then he said, reach people to the ends of the earth. We have a responsibility to get the gospel everywhere. Church, here's the deal. That's our cause. That's our cause. We're not sending 15, 20 people to Guatemala this week for the Feel Good Tour 2019. That's not why we're doing it. We're sending people to Guatemala this week, and it's a sacrifice for us to do that as a church. We don't have a big fault somewhere where we have a hard time keeping all of our resources, you know. Oh, man, we just got to open another bank account or get another vault, right? It's a sacrifice. The people that are going on the trip, it's a sacrifice for. We've asked you to be a part of that by helping purchase a part of the, just to give part of the money towards that house. And if you feel compelled to do that, if God would, you know, speak to your heart about doing that, I would encourage you, take one of those envelopes. If you're not prepared to give it today, you can do it online or you can bring it back on Wednesday night. But we're trying to raise some money to help a family, and we're going to show you a video in just a minute of what that looks like, because we've done it before and we've seen the impact it has on a community, it has on a church, and it has on the ministry in Guatemala. We want to help people reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, people that don't live close to us, that look a lot different than us. But you know what's really funny? When we're there, we look different than everybody else. We're the ones that are a little different. Giving not only begins with a cause, it entitles, it compels us to sacrifice. When I do things for my kids and even my grandkids, I don't walk away from that gift going, oh, it's so much. It's such a sacrifice. I wish I didn't have to do that. I wish I didn't have to do that for my kids. I wish I didn't have to. No, why do I do? I do that because I love them, and I want to do that, even to the point where I won't do things for myself like my dad used to and showed me, because I want to sacrifice for them because I love them. Giving as a whole entitles sacrifice, demands sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, God's word says, remember this. If you sow or give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. That means if you give a little and it's just kind of, to you, that's kind of the way you're going to be blessed. But if you sow generously, whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what God's put on your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. You know what that means? You will be prosperous. You will have much, much more than you could ever dream of. Here's where we get messed up as American Christians. We don't look at the blessing meter by looking at God and what he's done in our life. We look at the blessing meter by looking at what God has done in other people's lives, and we compare it. Well, he's done so much more for them. Why? It's not fair, right? We go through this kind of moral dilemma in our hearts where we're kind of like, you know, I would do more, but other people have more, can do more. Listen, it's not about what they're doing. It's about what God's called you to do. It's what God's called you to do. And you might not think you make a difference, but when that first passage of scripture that we read about giving, Jesus didn't talk about the Pharisee that brought in $1 million offering that day for the temple. He talked about the lady that brought in less than a penny because God saw what? Her heart. He saw her heart. Giving demands sacrifice. Giving leads to life. There is a benefit that comes to us being generous towards other people. 2 Corinthians 8, it says this in verses 1 through 5. And now, brothers and sisters, love that. Brothers and sisters, family, right? My family, mi familia, my church. He said, we want you to know about the grace that God gave the Macedonian churches. He wanted to tell a story about these churches in Macedonia that lived in famine, that were under oppressive Roman government, right? And he says this, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I'm giving you a testimony, that means something I saw that happened. They gave me as much as they were able, and then even beyond their own ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And as they exceeded our expectations, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Sacrificial giving leads to other people hearing about Jesus. This church in Macedonia was so grateful for Paul coming, sharing the gospel, planting churches, reaching their friends, reaching their family members with the life-changing, eternity-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, here's the thing that's different about being religious and relational. Religiousness only lasts during your lifetime. So you can be religious here. You can if you want to. You know, we have a verse on our house wall in our house. If you come in, we're like turbo Christians. I even have a cross on one of my walls out by my pool. That's a blessed pool right there, okay? But that's kind of religious stuff that we'll put a religious bumper sticker, we'll listen to Christian radio, we'll do religion. And listen, they're not bad things. Those works aren't bad, but those works don't save you. What saves you is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you understand that by you making a decision to ask God to forgive you of your sins, invite Jesus Christ to come in your heart and to be your Lord and Savior, the trajectory of eternity changes for you on that day. You have a forever relationship with God. And listen, if Christians really believe that Revelation chapter 20:15 says, whoever's not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Talking about hell gets kind of creepy because people don't like to hear that. But listen to what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21. God says that he is going to wipe away all of our tears. This is four verses after people are sentenced to hell for all of eternity. Why will we be crying? First of all, we're going to be there. Secondly, we're going to know people that aren't going to be in heaven. People that live near you. Some people you don't like. But some people you're related to and love very, very much. God wiping away all of our tears, is it because we had to leave our cars and our houses to go to heaven? Oh my gosh, I'm going to miss my stuff. No. We're going to see people separated from us for eternity on that day. That's what's going to cause our hearts to be broken at that moment. Why can't that happen now? Where we start to understand our lives are so short. It's amazing how short life seems. I was talking to my little friend Carol, who takes care of somebody. How old is your friend that you take care of, Carol? She's 88. And we were just talking. And I said to her, boy, Young people think 88 is really, really old, and she said, 88's not old when you're 87. That's good, isn't it? That's a good word right there. But she's got a little friend sitting next to her today. And she's 92 today. Miss Betty is so faithful to the Lord's house, to this church, and her Christian testimony. Would you at 10:47 this morning sing happy birthday with me to Betty? Would you do that with me? You ready? Let's sing happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday. Give her a big hand. Would you do that? Hey, and if your 35th birthday is next week, we ain't singing to you, okay? She's earned that a little bit, okay? She's 92 years old. That's amazing. But 92's fast. That looks like, whoo, that's eternity, right? No, that's not eternity. Eternity's eternity. Here's the other thing about giving. Here's the last thing. Giving produces joy. I remember when I first surrendered my life to serve the Lord, and I had to make big, big, big changes in my life that God was kind of showing me, you know, incrementally as he was growing me. And man, it was tough. I mean, I really needed to see proof of this stuff, but I was started to be a youth counselor back in my church in Philadelphia while working for my father before I went to go to college and seminary. And I remember my buddy, who was a youth pastor at the time, and said, hey, we're trying to get the church. You're a youth counselor. We can't ask our church to do something you're not doing too. We're trying to get our church to help sponsor kids to go to camp. You need to pay for somebody to go to camp. And I looked at him and said, I have two kids. I can't help some. He says, I know you can't, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can make some sacrifices, right? And you can help out, and you have about 3 months. Can you tell me right now in your heart you could put $95 together in the next 3 months? And I was like, yeah, I probably could do that. And he said, this is what he said to me. This is a good friend, that can, and he was just Jesus juking me to death. He said, didn't you just go to the Rolling Stones concert last week? And I said, that's personal. You know, well, how much was your ticket? I don't know. How much was your ticket? I don't know. You said you had great seats, right? Yeah, I paid $90 for my seat. So you could have sent some kid to camp and not gone to the Rolling Stones concert? I said, shut up, you jerk. I'll send some kid to camp, okay? You know? That kid that I paid for to go to camp accepted Christ as Savior. He gave his heart to Christ that week. And I tasted it. I tasted it. Acts 20:35 says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than receive. Let me tell you what's going to happen this week when a team from our church leaves. They're going to leave on Thursday and then some more on Saturday and some more on Monday. It's kind of a progressive trip. But let me show you what happens when people like you and I do a little tiny bit to invest in people's lives. Watch this video. This is really cool. But here's what's significant about this, right? This is why it's significant, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We've got to do what we're supposed to do here and here and here and here all at the same time. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. So our tithing is a responsibility. We have to take care of the needs of the church. My church, God's called me to serve here. I have a responsibility. My tithe goes here. I know that for me. I know that that's true for you. And I hope that that's part of your Christian giving and Christian life, and God will bless you crazy for it. But then we move into this generosity thing where we start doing some things. You ready for this? Oh, above. What are you talking about? Listen, I understand that. It takes sacrifice. It takes time. It takes good financial management. But then you start to do a little bit more, and you do a little bit more, and guess what you do? You kind of get hooked on it because it's pretty cool to be a part of something that God's doing that's bigger than you and I. So we left some cards. Boy, you talk about Jesus juking next to the candy on your chairs, right? So why you're getting a sugar high, I hope not, you can eat that candy if you want to. Take a look at this card, and we're going to pray. And this gives all of us, Johnny, give me one of those cards. Would you please run one of those up to me? Thanks, buddy. This card says, I will be generous by starting to give to the ministry of Warehouse Church. Listen, please, 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 please. If you've never given before, don't say, I'm going to start 10% today. Just start giving regularly. Just start by making it a normal part of your life where every time you get paid, every time you have extra income, just start somewhere. I always tell new Christians, start at 1%. You can do that. Just start by doing something so it becomes normal for you and it becomes something that's regular for you. And then you know what? Start growing a little bit. Hey, I'm doing this. I could do Dunkin' Donuts instead of Starbucks and I could keep this thing going. I can even do Chock Full of Nuts Heavenly Coffee, which is $9 for like a 75-ounce can. That's the kind of coffee my wife likes. Everybody knows stuff that they can do to make life adjustments to do the Lord's work, right? And then if you want to take that next step, you'll see this is kind of a generosity ladder. That next step is, if you've been giving regularly, I want to challenge you, start tithing. Trust God with it. You can do it. God will help you do it. If you're already tithing, your next step of growth in your life is to increase. I got to do a little bit more. We got more stuff we need to do as a church. We want to reach more people. We want to be a blessing to more countries and more missionaries. We're going to be fully engaged and committed. I don't want to just clap when missionaries come. I want to say amen because I'm psyched and I'm part of it. Here's the last thing. I will consider, this is just a prayer thing that you check off. I'll consider an end of year gift. We want to finish paying for our construction by the end of the year. That's a goal that we have. It's a big goal. It's in the $100,000 range, right? We got to do that. We got to do that so we can do more in other places. But it's kind of funny because it's so easy to get so introspective and just care about what we got to do here that we forget about there. And we got to do both. So I'm going to ask you to grab that card. Bow your heads with me, and let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord about committing to start to give, to start to tithe, to start to do a little bit more, and to commit to pray about your Christmas and end-of-year offering. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I did tell you that I'm starting a new series next week that's not about giving. Thank you for not saying amen. But you know why God wants us to do this? Not because he needs anything from us. He wants to bless us crazy. Crazy bless us. Like, not even understanding the kind of blessings that God wants to do in your life bless you. His word tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think, according to God's power that works in us. I have some exceeding abundant thoughts. And God can do better than that. Because really, everything's already his. And stuff means nothing to God, but you mean something to God. And your heart means something to God. And other people's lives. And God wants you to feel connected to that, to blessing other people, to reaching other people, because he wants to bless you. So how many with your heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe giving's not part of your life right now. And that's, I'm not judging you. I'm trying to encourage you to take a step out and start. Where you would say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to start. I'm at ground zero. I need to start giving regularly to the ministry of the church. And I want God to teach me through that and bless me so that I can grow more in time. But pray for me. I know I need to start giving to the church. Would you raise your hand up in the air? Nobody's looking around. Just pray for me, Pastor Ed. God bless you. 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 Students that are raising your hand. You guys rock. What a great example. Some of you adults also. God bless you. How many of you would say, Pastor, I'm giving. It's not super regular, but I know I need to start tithing regularly. Please, please, please pray for. Listen, I'm not going to call you. I'm just going to pray for you. Not even by name. I'm just going to pray for you generally in a minute. How many of you say, Pastor, pray for me. I know I need to start. I know. I just know it. I know what tithing is, and I know I need to start doing it. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand up real quick all over the room? God bless you all over the room. God bless you. God bless you for listening to the Lord this morning. How many of you that are faithful in your giving, first of all, thank you, because without you, we couldn't even be here today. Without you, we couldn't be sending people to Guatemala. Without you, we couldn't have even moved into this building, and the story of us being here is a miracle, and we're thankful for it. We have more responsibilities to take care of, but we know God's going to do all that. But how many would say this, Pastor, I know it's time for me to go next level, and pray for me as I talk to the Lord about how I can increase. If that's true about you, raise your hand up in the air. God bless you all over the room. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness and allowing God to speak to your heart. Last thing, Christmas is coming. I'm putting the church on my Christmas list. I'm going to pray about what I can do for the ministry for my end of year giving. If I can pray with you about that, just lift your hand up in the air. God bless you all over the room. Lord, we love you. You are so, so good. It's hard to talk about giving sometimes, Lord, because it just gets right at the, right so personal about all of our lives, but the personalness of it stems from you wanting to bless people. I'm not asking people to do this so that our church can have more. We're speaking your word into people's lives so that you can do more through them. Help us to be faithful. Help us to honor you. Help us to obey you. For those that are going to start, we applaud them. For those that are going to start tithing, we applaud them. We ask you, God, to clear the path for them and help them to see that you can do this through them. For those that are going to increase and they're already, Lord, so, so sacrificial in their giving to the church, we're honored. We're humbled by that. But we know that you want to do some special things in their lives too. And we pray that you'll bless them for that. Help all of us, Lord, to see what we can do individually and as families and in our businesses, Lord, to be a blessing to our church by the end of the year. God, you know what our needs are. And we entrust them to you, and we pray that you'll help our church exemplify financial responsibility in all that we say and all that we do. We love you, and we thank you for our church, and thank you for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say it with me. Amen. Amen. Hey, I hope you'll be here Wednesday.